Welcome to Pump Up the Volume with Jim Cassidy, proudly brought to you by William Hill.
Yes, punters, hello and welcome along to William Hill's racing podcast, Pump Up the Volume. We're here in the studio today for a special edition, and joining me in the studio is Brad Gregg. Afternoon, Brad.
Yeah, afternoon, Mitch. Melbourne Cup Eve, can't wait.
It's always an exciting time of the what is a huge week, as we know, and of course, it's a huge week for Jimmy Cassidy. He joins us on the line from Melbourne. Jim, good afternoon. How's the festivities been down there so far this week?
Good afternoon, boys. A little bit of rain in Melbourne this morning. We've had the parade, obviously, through the streets of Melbourne. Huge turnout. Things are really getting pumped up for the big day tomorrow.
Great stuff, mate. Now, obviously, big news on Saturday morning. You announced your retirement from racing. How's the response been from the industry so far, mate?
Yeah, look, it's been overwhelming. There's been a lot of good support about retiring and wishing luck and the new venture, and obviously there's been plenty saying I shouldn't be retiring. But look, I think it's the right time. Finishing off in Melbourne on the big stage, it's been some 32-year career, boys, so I think the time has come, and it'll be fitting if we can go out with something over the next couple of days.
How's it felt, mate, just knowing that this is, you know, these are your last few days, you know, doing something that you've done since you were basically a boy, mate?
Yeah, a few little knots in the belly, but I really want to keep focused for tomorrow and obviously Thursday, and it'll be emotional walking back on there tomorrow, thinking back to my first cup in 82 and then obviously winning the great race in 83 on the mighty Kiwi, but... No, look, keep focused. I've made the decision and there'll be no clickety-clacks. I'm coming back. They're all gone. So looking forward to the next couple of days, obviously, Cup Day tomorrow and then hopefully Thursday.
And then after that, mate, we'll hit the golf course, won't we?
That's it. We'll have a few nice little ales and a swing at the golf club and start to live a normal and obviously enjoyable and happy life.
Great stuff, mate. All right. Both of us here wish you well in retirement, mate. We're really looking forward to you being a part of the William Hill team. So, that's exciting moving forward.
That'll be special. We'll make an announcement on what we intend to do a little bit later down the track, but I'm sure our William Hill listeners and podcast listeners will be very interested to see which path we're taking.
No, great stuff, mate. Okay. Let's touch on Saturday just gone. From your perspective, Jimmy, the track, how big a difference in the results did it make?
I think it was enormous difference. And, you know, the thing that annoys me is why keep moving running rails? They couldn't move them when they were wooden. They moved them at Moonee Valley last week when we had the Friday night meeting and then the Cox Plate meeting, I should say. And it was very disadvantaged to be in certain parts of the track that day, and then it's continued on to the first day of the Flemington Carnival. Let's just hope that it plays fair tomorrow. We're getting a few showers. I think they put the rail out maybe 2 or 3 metres. But it's frustrating. Trainers get horses ready for this time of the year. Jockeys prepared to ride certain races doing the form, and then it all goes out the window after one or two races. And we've seen it consistently throughout the day be close to the fence and on pace. Made it very hard for other runners.
Brad, you said to me last week, the Moonee Valley track on Cox Plate Day, you were giving two lengths, essentially, for that inside part of the track. What was your thoughts from Saturday? Similar margin, maybe?
I need to do the tapes properly for Saturday still, but yeah, I'd say it'd be probably something similar upon first looks. As Jimmy said, it's not ideal on these big days, especially when there's so much money in pre-post as well. Punters are diving in. They see something they like on Wednesday, Thursday with the expectation the track is going to play fairly. Halfway through the meeting, if you're on a back marker, you can tear up your ticket, can't you?
Yeah, but pretty much. I mean, yeah, some horses ended up going around later in the day with just Buckley's chance of winning any in the finish, even.
For example, a horse like Stay With Me.
100%.
Backed into probably $4, and then on the day, huge drifter, you're getting about $8. The connection said, we're going to have to ride a cold, but what we want you to do is duck and weave and try and get through. Well, when every other horse, and there's 15 in front of you, have the same kind of operation or motive, then it makes it impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't jump over them.
No, exactly. It is impossible. I mean, some horses just had an impossible task of winning a race there on Saturday. And Jimmy, one that probably really got disadvantaged, A, with the fact that it actually rained, and B, by the bias, was Dawny Perfect.
Yeah, look, I think overall, summing it up, that the winner box seated through on the fence, dash clear, with the advantage, the way it was playing, it sort of gives her no chance. I was pleased the way she stuck on. She only got beat sort of half a length from second to fourth. She'll continue to the Oaks, and I'm certainly not riding her off.
No, she already looks like she wants the 25 too, doesn't she?
Yeah, look, and if Clary, he's done it before with his good fillies. This filly's obviously not in the class of a few that others that he's had there, but she's tough. I've always believed she'll run the trip, and if anyone can get her to bounce back, it'll be Clary.
I think it is important to touch on again the fact that all of her runs where she's savaged the line have been on a good track too.
Yeah.
They said it was quite doughy there on Saturday. So on a dry track, wouldn't be surprised to see her improve dramatically.
No, she's got out to a very she's got out to double figure odds for the Oaks now, which is, you know, very tempting, I'd imagine. All right, guys, the reason it is a special edition of today's podcast is that we're going to look at the Emirates Melbourne Cup, 3200 metres, Group 1, Australia's greatest race, and we're going to go through each runner one by one. We'll start at the top with Snow Sky. Top weight, he's got to carry 58 kilos. He's drawn out in 16. Ryan Moore for Sir Michael Stout. He's $51 in the market with us now, Brad. His Caulfield Cup run probably didn't instill a lot of confidence in punters, even though he didn't get beat that far.
No, he didn't. He went around $9 there, and he was one of the spruik horses in the race. The fact that he's out to $51 may be some little overreaction, but he's just got so much weight there, doesn't he? Like, history says it's so hard to win the Melbourne Cup with 58 kilos, and he's giving away weight to some very good horses, so it's a big ask. He'd need to improve significantly on what he did in the Caulfield Cup, and the Caulfield Cup seemed at the time like a more logical target for him. So, yeah, he's going to go around without me, but $51 is probably a slight overreaction.
Jimmy, it is really hard, like really hard to win a race like the Melbourne Cup when you're drawn out there with such a big weight.
Yeah, look, it is. I've just been having a look back through his form when he won back last year over 2,000 and 2,300 metres. He was first of nine with nine stone, and he was one of seven, again carrying nine stone. He's got to carry it in 2 miles with 24 runners and 58 kilos, barrier 16. He was all right in the Caulfield Cup. He hung in there, but it's going to make his task very hard with the 58.
It's interesting that the Caulfield Cup, the last six years, I think it is, no runners coming out of the Caulfield Cup, so obviously, this year's was a bit stronger than normal.
Yep.
Interesting to see if that trend continues, because the market suggests that it'll change. So,
yep. No, fair enough. Okay, moving on, guys. Criterion number two, he's got to carry 57.5 for Mickey Walker and the combination of Hayes and Dabernig. He's, like we've been saying in the podcast the last few weeks, he's the benchmark as far as weight for age racing goes in this country. He's got that old school feel of like a horse like a Jeune or a Naturalism or something like that, where he's been competing against, you know, Australia's best gallopers. He comes back into a Melbourne Cup and he's got to carry a weight, but geez, classy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, look, that he is. Sorry, Brad.
No, after you. After you.
His runs have been good. We've seen him win the Caulfield Stakes. He was the bias track in the Cox Plate. He was second home. He's tough. He's had a good solid prep. We've seen horses come out of that Cox Plate, a number of them, and be very competitive, and if not win the Melbourne Cup. And as we mentioned all week, boys, the Hayes and Davenant combination. Mickey Walker riding well, so you know he's got to be in the mix somewhere.
He can just seem getting a lovely run, can't you?
He does. He gets a lovely run for barrier four. He seems like he's got a lot of weight there, though, doesn't he? 57.5 kilos. That's the sticking point. He's got a bit of a, like, he relaxes well, which is in his favour. He'll drop his head. He'll get into a nice spot for you. But I don't like the fact that he hasn't had a 2,400 metre run. We'll touch on Preferment a bit later, and I like the fact that he hasn't, but he strikes me as a horse that probably needed that grounding.
This campaign, yes. You mean, yeah. No, it's
I get the feeling that he's going to loom, and then that last 200 metres is going to be where it tests him, and that's when he'll be reaching for the oxygen tank. Not dissimilar to what we saw from So You Think.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I can see him running a nice fourth or fifth and being in contention for a long time, but, yeah, fading maybe the last little bit. Jimmy, the trainers, the David Hayes, he certainly thinks he'll get 3,200. He doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Nah, he's just eliminated that. He's very confident and very, very bullish that he'll run the 2 miles. You know, the big plus that he's got, he's got that beautiful establishment where they work him, and, you know, he mightn't have had to run at a mile and a half, but I can guarantee you they wouldn't have missed him at home.
No doubt.
The Cox Plate's provided a couple of winners recently too, two of the past three, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's found himself in a pretty strong Melbourne Cup, though, hasn't he, to be carrying 57.5 kilos?
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's got a hell of a lot of weight there.
If it was just a touch weaker, like, it's got a lot of depth, this Cup. If there was less depth in the race and fell off very quickly, you might be thinking to yourself,
yeah,
he's a genuine place chance,
yeah,
and maybe even a winning chance. But it's, yeah, I can just see him fading that last little bit, like you know.
Yeah. Well, going back to So You Think Again, he carried 56 kilos. So.
There you go. Yeah. And he was probably, and in all honesty, So You Think was probably a better 2,400 metre horse than Criterion. So
yeah, well, without really knowing, like, the only time I think we've seen him over 24 was the ADC Derby, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, moving on, guys. Fame Game, the race favourite. I woke up this morning and checked the price, and I couldn't believe he was out to $5. Brad, can you tell me what's happened there?
I don't know. I think just on the weight of early support, there's a bit of a hype train there early. It got into a ridiculous price of around $3.20, and then kind of it's bounced back. Probably a little bit of an overreaction now. I would expect that to right itself, and it would probably start somewhere around $4.50, $4.60. You never know really what the totes are going to do, given that it's such a massive pool, but I would have thought about $4.50, $4.60 was his right price.
Jimmy was obviously the flashing light in the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, look, he's been very well documented, how good he did look. It was a tremendous run. Very interested to listen to you there about the prices that he's getting out in the market. I thought he was probably unders. As Greg's just mentioned, he's probably getting out to his right price. A little bit of rain around. Looking at his form, he doesn't have a lot of good stuff on rain-affected ground, so I'm sure 17 starts for 5 wins on good tracks, I'm sure they would be hoping the rain stays away.
Yeah, you're right there, aren't you, Jim? He hasn't had a start on a soft track in his life. He hasn't seen anything other than a firm or a good track, so...
Yeah, they do. I mean, in the end, they do most of their racing on good to firm surfaces in Japan. Obviously, Zach would be feeling pretty confident about this going into it. Jimmy, you would have spoken to him?
Yeah, look, for sure. You've got to be confident on his last run. If I was on him, you'd be going and bouncing. He's still got to stand up and be grounded and produce that big finish. If he happens to get rain, we'll be able to quicken like that. That's only the query. I'm talking to my darling daughter, Nicole. She was hoping the rain stayed away, but leaving the parade and looking out the window at the moment, there's still a few showers around, and it is Melbourne Cup Day. Those heavens might open up, and who knows, he might not handle the track at all, but in saying that, he was the red light flashing on the head after the
Caulfield
Cup.
He was very good. And you look at his record too, like, first up, he hasn't won. And then second up, his record is 2 from 5 with a third. So you can be very, very confident that the Japanese trainers here have him absolutely cherry ripe for this race. The fact that they came out and just used the Caulfield Cup as pretty much a barrier trial says that they are supremely confident going into this race, and obviously nothing will be left in the tank here.
Obviously, he was well back in the Caulfield Cup. It's been well documented. Where do you think he ends up here in the run?
Yeah, well, they kind of made a rod for their back, didn't they, by doing that? I'd be surprised if he was tailed off last. Like, barrier 12, they'd have to go out of their way to kind of be last. I'd see him touch worse than midfield, I think, would be a nice spot for him. Plenty of room to wind up. And, yeah, he's clearly the horse to beat, but as we've kind of alluded to, he's $4 or $5 is quite short for a Melbourne Cup runner.
Our Ivanhoe is number 4 in the race. He's $21 with William Hill currently. Benny Mellum's in great form, and so is Lian Anthony Friedman. Jimmy, this horse was very good in the Caulfield Cup, and perhaps the barrier now has put a slight dampener on his Melbourne Cup prospects.
Yeah, the barrier's probably put a dampener on it. A little bit of rain around. He's had 3 goes on the soft for 2 and a win, so that's obviously going to enhance his prospects. We do happen to get rain. Look, I know he's very, very bullish about him. I've got a good mate that's a part owner of him, Rod Russell. that very quietly confident that he's going to run terrific, obviously coming off that good run in the Caulfield Cup. Clearly knows what it takes. He's been there and done it on a number of occasions, the big days and the cups. So I just don't know. The barrier might be to his advantage. I might see him roll forward a little bit and take up a spot close to his feet somewhere. Probably more so if he happened to get a few more showers and the putty's right out of the cup.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to roll forward. He was great in the Caulfield Cup. I mean, he just looked like he perhaps was still that half run short of peak fitness. Is that fair to say, Brad?
Yep, I think you're right. He does have a really nice sense of timing about him. I'd be very surprised if he didn't improve again on that Caulfield Cup run. He obviously has to. Whether he has enough improvement in him just yet, it might be next preparation in Australia, but... yeah, he's a horse that I love his direction. He's going, he's tracking nicely. I think we're about to see that form that saw him win a German Derby, and he was quite dominant in that race overseas.
Some issue 2 miles. I mean, he's never been over the trip, I guess, until they go over the trip. It's hard to tell, but you wouldn't say he was eating up the 2,400 at the end.
No, he wasn't eating up. So that is a query. He hasn't been over the trip. Yeah, but I do like the way he's training. I kind of said before that it was a German Derby. It was actually his German form around the Derby, yeah. Not so much the Derby itself. But, yeah, it was a couple of nice wins.
Jimmy, you did say at the start of this carnival you expected Lee and Anthony Friedman to really start to hit their straps, and they have. These guys know how to train a cup winner, don't they, mate?
Well, that's what I mean. They've been there and done it. And I had been talking to Lee over the Caulfield Cup meeting and then last week, so I'm riding 1-3 months up day. And they are very bullish. And as I say, I've got a friend in the horse like Russell. They expect good things. They were of the impression that he was probably 80% going into the Caulfield Cup. And with those little couple of extra weeks up his sleeve, I know Lee, one thing, he'll have him cherry ripe for tomorrow.
Big Orange is number 5 in the race. He's 50-1 for Jamie Spencer, takes a ride for Michael Bell. I thought he was poorly weighted, to tell you the truth, in the race. He has some quality form in certain areas. His last start was average, but he's weighted up there with some of the real classy types in this race, and I don't know if he's as good as those horses.
I think you can put that last start failure down to the wet track. He just needs it firm. He needs to feel it rattle under his feet, as they say. But yeah, he does. There is a bit of a query on his weight. I know the trainer, he's come out and said that Trip to Paris looks really well weighted in the race, given their form around one another. So I guess there is a query there, 55.5, wide draw, and then just got to defy that. I know it's kind of wheeled out every year, but internationals first up in the Melbourne Cup. Some have come extremely close recently. But you can't ignore it, can you? Like, it just means so much when they've got that grounding run here. You can see how they're going. Otherwise, there's just so much guesswork.
Yeah, no, 100%. Jimmy, Jamie's a world-class rider, though, isn't he? He'll give it a good trip.
Yeah, look, for sure. And you've got to take that into respect. He probably wouldn't just be coming out for the sake of it to say I'm riding in the Melbourne Cup. He obviously thinks he's worth coming out to ride. So, as Brad mentioned, hard to think he's first run out here and bang straight into the Melbourne Cup. He's obviously been a quality horse, but he's going to have to do every bit of it, I think, to be winning a big race on Tuesday.
Yeah, like you go through that Goodwood Cup form, and it ties in with Quest for More and Trip to Paris. So I guess if you give Trip to Paris, I hope you've got to have him at least in your numbers somewhere. Trip to Paris does meet him 2 kilos better for that narrow defeat. There was a 3-way finish there, and there was all there to be won for them, but Big Orange just kind of outstayed them. So I guess there's a little bit to like about him.
He doesn't particularly fit the profile of international winners of this race. Is that fair to say? He's got the English form. He hasn't had a run here. He hasn't got a local jockey on. Yeah. You know, like, there's a few things that he doesn't tick.
Yeah. I guess in his favour, he likes it firm and can race a little bit handy. He's a horse with a big stride, so he'll need a bit of room to wind up like many of these. But, yeah, as you say, there's plenty of queries against his name.
One horse I would have loved to have seen drawn a barrier was Hartnell. Jimmy, you would remember, obviously, he won the Sydney Cup on Grand Marshal, and Hartnell was a heavy favourite in that race, and he pulled his head off up front, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was quite fierce and really wanted to get on with the job that day. He's obviously settled in a lot better now. He sort of raced on a bias track in the Cox Plate. He was one of the horses to keep working home, even though he got beat some 10.5 lengths. But he was sort of working to the line. The more I've looked at him, he just sort of just kept coming. And funny enough, I talked to James McDonald after the race, and I said, "Oh, was he disappointing?" He said, "Well, he just raced like he wanted 2 miles." So, yeah, look, he's 3 runs going into the 2 mile, a mile 10 furlongs, Cox Plate. He must be going good to only have the 3 runs. So he'd be looking forward to having a good opportunity with John O'Shea and McDonald back on.
They've obviously had a set idea this time in with him, Brad. You know, keeping the freshness in his legs. He hasn't had the 2,400 metre start. You think that's been a plan?
Yeah, it's definitely been a plan all along. This has been his target. Fourth in, as you say, a bit of freshness in the legs. Last time we saw him over 2 miles, of course, he failed as a $1.60 favourite in the Sydney Cup, but he was up on the speed, pulling his head off. He looked a good thing that day. Excuse me. Otherwise, I think it was 2.20 into a $1.60. Like, he just looked an absolute certainty on paper.
On weights, yeah.
Down on 52 kilos. His run in the Cox Plate was very good. I expected him to be winning very good races this spring on the strength of his trials. I thought, this is a horse that's absolutely airborne. He's disappointed me so far. I thought his Cox Plate run was a suggestion that he was somewhere back to his best, but I still think he's somewhere off the form that we saw him last autumn.
If he'd drawn an inside barrier, that would be a big help in trying to get him to relax, because they're going to have to go forward, I imagine, and try and find some cover somewhere.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they just tried to ride him really cold and just let him hit the line. I think the last thing they want to do is risk pushing on and firing him up or being wide without cover, because then he's
I think one thing that's interesting, boys just interrupt him. If people have a team on him, if they happen to get rain and the heavens open up, he's had two on the heavy for a second and a third, and he's had 7 on the soft track for 4 wins. So that's something they... Keep your eyes open and watch the weather leading into the cup.
He's not the sort of horse you straight away think as a soft track horse, is he? Like, he has performed well on decent tracks, and I even when, as you say that, Jimmy, I'm surprised about those stats.
Yeah, he's had 11 on good clubs for 3 wins and 3 seconds, where he's had 7 goes on a soft track for 4 wins, 2 on a heavy for a second and a third, so... He's pretty adaptable. If we do get rain,
I might
like him. He's probably right in the mix.
No, fair enough. Hoko Brave, the other Japanese entrance, was okay in the Caulfield Cup. It's about as good a description as I can give him. He was okay. He wasn't anything flash. He certainly didn't have a flashing light on him. But Craig Williams sticks, and he seems to be pretty confident that he can turn it around at Flemington.
Yeah, I'm not sure why or where he gets that confidence from. He looked to have his chance to finish closer. He was flushed out at the right time, entitled to hit the line, but his fellow countryman Fame Game gave him a cold over that final stage. He only beat him by a length or two, but the way he was hitting the line whilst Hoko was going backwards suggests that he's got his work cut out beating his fellow Japanese horse here.
Yeah, Jimmy, they seem a bit close in the weights, don't they? Like, Fame Game seems definitely the better horse, doesn't he?
Well, he does. Only one thing, I think if you go back and have a look at the tapes going out of that first corner in the Caulfield Cup, I was sort of 2 off the fence. I had Fame Game inside me, and Hoko Brave, Craig Williams, was trying to slot in front of me, and I wouldn't let him. I kicked up an old my spot. He was 3 deep. He travelled from the 2,000 up round to probably about the 1,200, maybe the 1,000 metres with no cover. When I sort of looked at it again, I thought, you know, he's got beat 5¾ lengths. The run that he sort of had, sure enough, he got flushed out and come into it, but his run was probably a bit better than a few of the others. So I'm not discarding him. Williams is no mug. He's been keen to stick, and he's still very keen on him. So just something interesting to have a look. He did cover a lot of ground early in the Caulfield Cup, and he wasn't beaten that far.
I assume they just go back and ride for luck. Is that the way? Is that going to be the best way to ride him from barrier 20?
Well, you'd think so. Willow would probably go back from there. The decisions we've got to make as jockeys from barriers have got to be quick. Otherwise, you're going to get posted. Then you've got to go forward and spend more petrol. So it'll be interesting to see what a few of these other runners do that have drawn out wide.
Hoko is an 8-year-old too, isn't it? So it's something to take into consideration. Has he come like maybe a year too late?
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, you're right. Not many 8-year-olds win the cup. Max Dynamite's the next of the international runners for Frankie Dettori and And he's drawn great. He's been well supported since the barrier draw. There's signs that he's very much in the mix, isn't there, Brad?
Yeah, well, the market's suggesting so. I found this guy a really interesting runner. Seven of his past nine runs have been over the hurdles.
Vintage crop style.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting lead up. Or more recently, Simenon.
Remember? Yeah, Simenon, yeah.
Yeah. He interestingly, he ran fourth behind Fioronte, Simenon. But interestingly, in that Lonsdale Cup, where Max Diamond was so impressive, Simenon was actually in that race.
Right.
And he beat him quite easily. Simenon's probably past it now, but it's just an interesting form parameter. That Lonsdale Cup win was enormous. He won by 4.5 lengths, and he was just so strong through the line. I guess the query there is that it was on soft. He's yet to win a race on a firm track. So, as Jim kind of touched on before, if the heavens do happen to open and you give Hartnell a bit of a bump up, then Max Dynamite's definitely one to elevate too if there's a bit of moisture around.
Jimmy, it's funny how the Northern Hemisphere trainers can get those horses to be so competitive over the hurdles and then come back onto the flat racing and be superior there as well. It's just not something we see out here, is it?
No, for sure, especially that he's only had the 18 runs for 3 wins and 3 seconds and 2/3, and then he comes out back to the flat. And as Greg mentioned, he was impressive. He looked good his last win, and I've looked at him a few times. Probably one of Frankie Dettori's better chances to win the great race.
Yeah, certainly market-wise as well. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know Frankie's in flying form too, isn't he, Brad?
Yep, he is. As you guys touched on, his price, $14. So he's well in the market when you consider who he's floating around there.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. But I tend to think he does want the sting out of the ground, and which he may well get. Jimmy, you did say it's raining there today. Certainly sprinkling.
I'll take evens for stings out of the track, boys.
Yeah, right. Okay, very good. Well, there's a good lead-in for Max Dynamite then. The old boy, Red Cadeau. What is it, his fifth Melbourne Cup?
Yep, fifth Melbourne Cup.
That's
phenomenal.
That's Skybo stuff. If any listeners out there, Skybo ran in, I think, 5 Melbourne Cups in the late 90s, early 2000s. Look, he's formed so good in Australia that you just can't dismiss him as a place chance, can you?
No, you can't. You'd be crazy to. He's one of those, we know him well enough now in Australia to say, don't look too deeply in his form before coming over here, because when he's in Australia, he's a completely different animal. Even in Sydney, when he's had that good form around Criterion, yeah, which now looks fantastic as well, every time he comes to Australia, he grows a leg. As sentimental favourites go, I think the punting public would love to see him get there. He's not getting any younger, though, 10 years old, but yeah, the big red, he thrives in Australia, so you'd be crazy to not include him in your wider trifectas and exotics because it's Red Cadeau.
Jimmy, it's great to see, an overseas horse who's been embraced in Australia and, you know, in our Melbourne Cup. He's really become one of ours, hasn't he?
Well, he's been
around
in nearly as many Melbourne Cups as me.
Exactly.
and he's run enormous every time he's been here. 10-year-olds don't win our Melbourne Cup, but boy, gee, don't leave him out because, as you've really documented, Brad, that he's every time he comes here, he grows a leg. I've seen him working on the television the other morning, and if you looked at him, you would have said he's not 10. He still looks like a 5-year-old, swinging in those old legs of his, and he'll walk out there proud as punch, and I think he'll do his connections proud, running terrific again tomorrow.
No. Wouldn't you want to see him too at Living Legends, hopefully?
Yeah,
be doing all they can to get him there because he'd be such a good attraction.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, my word, wouldn't he?
People would flock to see him there for sure. Ed Dunlop's done such a fantastic job with him for such a long time. His other runner, though, Trip to Paris, is the one that's been earmarked by the punters as far as being a big chance in the Melbourne Cup. His Caulfield Cup run was good. He was probably, he got some favours, I think, that's fair to say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he got some favours, but his closing sectionals were as good as Fame Game in the race, so I don't think you can say that he was advantaged too much in terms of taking much away from his run. Ed Dunlop has come out and said that he's looked at the prices and thinks that it's crazy in terms of the difference between the two.
Right.
Ed Dunlop also has this nasty habit of running second in these big races now, doesn't he? Red Cadeau, and he's come back with Trip to Paris, and
lo
and behold, he's second in the Caulfield Cup, so it'd be great to see him go one better. But yeah, he's a major player on what he's done in the Caulfield Cup. You can't disrespect that. He's come to Australia with in career best form. He won his Ascot Gold Cup, obviously. He's going to run 3,200 metres on his ear, no dramas. Career best form, he's a massive player.
Jimmy, you obviously saw him in the Caulfield Cup and he hit the line well behind the winner, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Good ride by Tommy Berry. Took the advantages when they come, took the runs when they come, and I thought he was good. He's a big player. He's certainly top six for me.
Yeah, right. They've certainly haven't missed him now. He's $8.50. Like, I don't think I'd want to take, you know, much less than that about him.
No, well, I guess not. When you consider that form line through Quest for More and Big Orange, and they're out 50s, 60s.
Yep.
He has done it here, which is why he's so short now.
I guess that's a key. Run. Yeah, exactly. I guess because punters have seen him here, that's the big difference. I mean, he won the Ascot Gold Cup, but in all honesty, he was lucky to win it because Kingfisher should have won the race.
Yeah, he was running into bums all over the place, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and Kingfisher, I think it was level weights in the Gold Cup, and he meets him a couple of kilos better here. So if you take that form line through, maybe Kingfisher's a bit longer, and we'll get into that later, but he might be a bit longer than he should be. But, yeah, look, he's definitely a player. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I originally thought that I'd be all over the Caulfield Cup as a guide for this year's Melbourne Cup, but the closer it gets to the race, the colder I'm going on the Caulfield Cup as a rock-solid reference. So.
Okay, all right, no worries. Well, another one that came out of the Caulfield Cup was Who Shot the Barman. He's proven himself over 2 miles before. He's proven himself at Flemington before, Jimmy. He's a big striding horse that needs a big course to perform at his best, doesn't he?
He does. He performs well at Flemington. He showed that he's on the Caulfield Cup as good. He worked around them and he just kept coming and kept whacking away and he got beat 5.25. He was good in the Turnbull. He's running Sydney behind Preferment. Wallace horse is flying and he's been there and done it on the big day and I'm sure that he's right up the mark to run a strong
3,200. He was good late, wasn't he, at Caulfield, Brad?
Yep, he was very good late. But that's been the story of all preparation, hasn't it? He's just been finding the line, fine-tuned for this. This is his grand final. He's already won twice at Flemington. He ran third in the race last year. If anything, he's going better this year. This year's race is harder, so he's got to rise again. But you'd be crazy to discount him. As you guys touched on, he flies at the track. He's a big striding horse. He needs room. So if Shin can pop out at the right time from Barry 6 somewhere midfield, then, yeah, he's going to be running on. He won't be slowing down as the line approaches.
Yep, no, definitely. He's obviously, this is his grand final, yeah. and he looks...
He's a genuine two-miler.
Yeah, he's a genuine two-miler, and he's a genuine top six hype, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's just whether he has that class to win.
And he's
against some of these.
100%, and he's close to the weights against some very classy types. That, I mean, he is more a handicapper. Is that fair to say?
At this level, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Sky Hunter for Sayed Bin Sarur. He's been a little specked in the market since the barrier draw. $61 into $41. What do you think that's on the back of, Brad?
I don't know. I found this one of the harder runners to line up. He started his career in France. Godolphin came knocking. Now with Sayed Bin Sarur. His form does suggest that he excels on wet ground. A couple of his wins by big margins have been when he could get the toe in. So he's another one to keep an eye on there. Last start, what did he do? He ran second there. I think that was a recent win. Yeah, 3 back. He won by 9 lengths. Absolutely demolished the field. That was on a wet track. So I don't know how that form in Dubai is going to stack up here. I found it really hard to get a line on him. The money suggests that he was overs, so I guess we have to kind of be respectful of that.
Jimmy, Godolphin, or specifically Sayed Bin Sarur, has had some runners in the cup, and they just haven't been able to strike it yet, have they?
No, they haven't. Just having a look back here, he has more holidays than me. He had a 40-week spell. He's had an 18-week spell. He's had a 19-week spell. 28-week spell, and then he's coming into the Melbourne Cup off that one run back in October. So, look, they've been trying to win it. They would be absolutely delighted if they could get it. What, they get a Caulfield Cup? They haven't got a Melbourne Cup yet. So, I agree with Brad. Just a little bit hard how to line him up.
Yeah, the only way I could try and line him up was through that Newbury form with Mount Athos.
Yeah.
He's 5 lengths off Mount Athos, who we know quite well in Australia. he was probably below his best there, so it's probably hard to get much of a guide on it. So
yeah,
it's a bit of a guessing game with him.
No, I agree. It's a guess. I mean, one thing in his favour, he has won 6 races from 11 starts. That's not bad, really.
That's a very good start. Very good start. You obviously got to be a quality horse to uphold that record.
Yeah, for sure. Bendigo Cup winner, The Offer. Former Sydney Cup winner for Gay Waterhouse gets a run. He's drawn 13. D Oliver on board. Another one that's somewhat been spec since a draw into $34 now. We know he'll stay 2 miles. We know he's got genuine, you know, Group One ability. But has he found himself in a race that perhaps has too much depth for him?
Potentially, yeah. He's another one who absolutely loves the wet, so he'd want it to be as sloshy as possible. He's had one of the most bizarre Melbourne Cup preparations I think I've ever seen. Even for Gay, like, started out in the Gold Coast really early in the campaign, came back, had a trial, went through the Rowley Mile, Wyong Cup, Newcastle Cup.
Won the Rowley Mile.
And then, obviously, tune up in the Randwick Tats and then wins the Bendigo Cup. So, geez, he's gone the back streets, hasn't he, to get here.
Yeah, definitely. He's 59 down to 54 kilos. He's not badly weighted, really.
No, he's not badly weighted, considering he won the 2014 Sydney Cup. It was quite a weak addition that year, so I wouldn't put too much weight into that. But it's Gay Waterhouse. He's rock-hard fit. He's been up forever. So wet track, I could consider him maybe a top 10 chance, but on a firm track, I think he's a little bit outgraded.
Jimmy, do you think he has the class to be competitive?
Only on a bog track, I believe.
Yeah.
Anywhere outside that, I don't think he's a real big player. He's got Ollie, he's got Gay. There is pluses. I agree with Brad. He got beaten in Newcastle Cup. I know there's been a Newcastle Cup winner come out and win a Melbourne Cup. I think it was Kingsley, if I remember rightly. They've been competitive, but beyond thankful, would he be in the market in the Melbourne Cup? I don't think so. No, I just think he's
going to
probably need it very, very well.
Okay. Been looking forward to talking to you about this, Jimmy. Grand Marshal, he comes into the race with a lot of things that have gone well this prep. He obviously hasn't won, but he's been ticking along perfectly. You've been confident all along. Tell us what you think about him.
Yeah, look, the whole thing with this bloke, he's been prepared for one race, which is tomorrow. He's a 2 miler. He's going to handle the cut out of the track if we get that. I think he's had a really good prep. He's chugged along at weight for age. I thought his running at Caulfield Cup would have been better had he not got impeded the last 100 or so. But after that, I let him get balanced. He took me for another 400 to 500 metres after the line, which gave me confidence, gave me a good feel that he was enthusiastic to run through the line. No, I'm quietly happy with him. He's nicely weighted. He won a Sydney Cup 52. Admittedly, there was a smaller field, but he's finding the line strong. I think come the clock tower, if he's round the first 6 at the clock tower, he's going to be in it up to his ears.
Yeah, look, Jimmy, I'm just shocked that he's ended up, 40-1 at the moment, because I thought he was second, maybe at worst, third best run in the Caulfield Cup. Like you said, his 2 mile form is exactly what he wants. How did you feel about drawing 15 when that came out? What was your first thought?
Main thing is that he just begins well. If he gets away well, it'll give me a chance to posse up somewhere. Obviously, keep an eye on a few of the wider runners coming across. Look, as long as I get a nice run in transit, 1,000 to the 800, you've got to be focused as to what's going to be happening in front of me. I just want to give him a trouble-free run when I need to work and do it, because I know he'll just keep coming. He's been there, he's done it on that day at Flemington last year, and that was a lot weaker company. By no means is he the best horse in the race. He might be the 10th best horse in the race. But one thing I know, he's going to run the trip. He's been very well prepared, and it's up to pump now just to give him a nice ride.
I was just looking at his form, Jimmy. He's twice... He's basically had 2 full preps before this prep in Australia. At the end of the last prep, he won the 2,800 metre race at Flemington. At the end of his, that was the end of his first prep. At the end of his last prep, he won the Sydney Cup. We're now at the end of this prep. He seems to be a horse that can rise on a grand final.
Well, he's just progressed a little bit each time. As I say, he's not the best horse, but he's progressed to a race that's very, very hard to win. He's tough. He was tough one day at Hawkesbury. He was tough at Flemington. He was tough at Ranwood. And now we come back to his grand final. He's going to be tough tomorrow. I know he will. And if anyone likes Dappin' Them Prices in the pump, don't be shy to be his foil. But
Brad, he's got out to silly odds, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I guess when you look at that Caulfield Cup form, he had no luck. His final sectionals, he should have broken 12 seconds. He didn't because he had a bit of interference there just across the line. And you look at the two who did break that 12-second barrier, Fame Game, Trip to Paris, $5 and $8.50.
Yeah, exactly.
Grand Marshal, $41. Then I guess his price is probably a touch generous. You go back and look at his Sydney Cup run too, and you can see that it's only the last 400 metres where he really starts winding in. He really starts hitting that top gear that he has. There's going to be a lot of tired horses in the final 400 metres here, and he's not going to be one of them.
No.
What he lacks for class, he makes up for in being a genuine stayer, so he'll be whacking away.
At the end of that Sydney Cup, Jimmy, could you feel him moving through the gears, like still going strong at the end of that 2 miles?
Yeah, look, the thing that impressed me, and I think all stars, they've got to have that will to keep coming.
Yeah.
And he's got that. You see it in good, tough 2 milers. You go back to horses like Luke Cadeau that just keep going around. They don't lay down. Who shot the bomb, and they just keep coming. And he's one of those. Look, I'm just pleased Chris put his mind to setting him for one race. It's fantastic when a plan comes off, and as you say, you alluded to something that not many people have realised. I did. His grand final was that race in Flemington last year. Then his grand final was the Sydney Cup, and this year it's the Melbourne Cup. So if Chris can take 3 out of 3, it's going to be a marvellous training performance, and he's a horse that's just improved a little bit each year.
No, mate, we wish you all the best. You know, what is your last cup ride? And you know, I know you'll give it every chance, and I know you've been confident the whole way through, mate.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be swapping him. I'd rather be taking him round than Fame Game, who's probably going to get a wet track, and poor old Zach might be seeing Pump go over the line while he's having a look up to see what's finishing.
That's the way it should be, surely. Hey, keep him in his place there, mate.
That's it.
Okay, we'll move on to Preferment. Genuine Chance, probably the best of the, well, certainly market-wise, of the locals. H. Bowman's, Chris Waller, flying the combination. If you think he can get 2 miles, then you have to think he's a genuine hope.
I think he'll get 2 miles. I think he is the best bet in the race, Preferment.
There we go.
Yeah, I love the sense of timing about his horse. I like that he has been kept 2000, 2000, 2000. Not like I know it sounds a bit contradictory because I said that I made the case against Criterion, but this is a horse that Waller has had to train a turn of foot into him, and he's just kept that sharpness in him by keeping him over the Cox Plate trip. He did nothing wrong in that race. He came home just as well as your Galo Chops, your Happy Trails, and
Hartnell, yeah.
Yeah, they ran well. Galo Chop, of course, came out and won the McKinnon, so you can be very forgiving of his ninth there. Before that, he was flying. That form around Magic Hurricane is very strong, won the Metrop, and then won the Turnbull, staying at 2,000 metres at Wait for Age. Chris Waller has done a masterful job at beating the handicapper. Like, you look at all the horses' weights in this race, Preferment is the one that catches your eye down there, 53.5 kilos. Excuse me, Hugh Bowman takes the ride, as you said. Chris Waller puts the polish on. Loves Flemington, this horse. 2 from 2, Derby winner here. He'd have to, I think it would be efficient and, who was it, efficient and
Farlap. Yeah, Farlap.
As Derby winners to then come back and win the Cup as 4-year-olds, but geez, he's a quality horse, and I really like the trend he's going on. Like, Chris Waller has come out and said not dissimilar things about this horse as he did about Winx, in terms of we haven't seen the best yet, and he could be a serious stayer in the making. So,
Jimmy, you know the horse, and you've obviously you know, certainly raced against him a few times. Do you think he will get the 2 miles?
Oh, without a doubt, he'll get 4 miles. He'll just keep going once he gets into that rhythm. He showed it in the Derby. He's a 3-year-old. He just kept whacking away. All that prep, he whacked away, and he was good enough to win the Derby outstayed them. He's had a great prep. He's put a bit of bounce back in his legs at 10 furlongs to win the Turnbull, and he done nothing wrong. He was going round in the Cox Plate to get that extra work into his legs, the miles, and he's probably had the best prep, probably best weighted horse coming out of weight for age back to handicap. Can't agree more with Brad. He summed it up perfectly. He ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Zabeel get a win or two after his passing. He joined Efficient and Mind Power as previous cup winners out of Zabeel's.
A couple of decent ones there, Jimmy.
Yeah, my word, what horses they were. I'd be happy to see him run home and run second for me.
Exactly. So you clearly think, though, he's one of your main dangers, without doubt.
Oh, look, without a doubt. I just don't think he wants it too wet, if it happened to get real wet. I know he has had a placing on a heavy and a couple placings on a win and a placing on soft ground, but they would prefer him to be obviously on top of the ground a bit. He showed that with a little bit of acceleration that he's been able to show at 10 furlongs this time in. But he's a serious player.
Yeah, I agree with Jim regarding the wet tracks. That's the query. That heavy track second was in a maiden, so we can't read too much into that. He's definitely one that'll want firm footing to show his best.
So you're obviously keen on him. Where do you want to see him in the run?
I just want to see him midfield. Going through recent history, I think it was the last eight. You want to be in that sweet spot. The last eight cup winners have settled, I think, between 7th and 17th at the 800. So not too close where you're doing all the bulleting work and you can't be at the back, but just in that nice middle ground. And I think 11 gives him that perfect option to be there.
Okay, strong push from both you guys for preferment. We'll move on. Quest for More, number 16, draws out wide, was average at Geelong, 100-1. He's not for me. Can you make any sort of reasoning for him, Jim?
No, look, I couldn't have him on his Geelong run. 100-1 is probably his price. I just couldn't have him at all, so...
Those ones that come here, Brad, the international ones, and don't run well.
It's so hard to turn around.
Isn't it?
It's
in such impossible. A short space of time.
You never see it happen. It just doesn't happen. Like, you go back to his run before that, and it's around Big Orange, and then he beat Max Dynamite at the start before that. So we're talking about these horses as genuine chances, but on his Geelong Cup form, I guess you have to half put a pen through him, don't you?
Yeah, his 2 mile form's great. 3 starts at the distance, 2 wins and a second. But yeah, like, I just can't come into the international runners.
He did carry 59 kilos in that Geelong Cup and drops to 53.5.
Yeah, fair enough.
If there's anything. And he stays all day, so. But yeah, his task isn't made any easier by the gate either.
No. The horse that won the Geelong Cup, Al Moon Keith, or whatever you want to call it, he was impressive at Geelong. There's no doubt about that. He's got, I think he's got some 2 mile form. He's in the right camp. These horses that can improve quickly and come into the cup with a light weight often run well, don't they?
Yeah, they do. There's a nice sense of timing about this horse too. That Geelong Cup win was excellent, very strong. Beat Dandino easily. Dandino's form ties in with all the weight for age group ones.
Preferment, yep.
Exactly, over the spring. David Hayes has been saying for a while that this is a very good stayer. It took a while for him to hit his straps, but now he's found it. His run in the Metrop was very good before that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was.
From an impossible position.
Which we know is, looking like a pretty decent form race now.
Yeah, but we saw Havana Cooler come out and Frank at someone. He was a bit unlucky on the weekend. That Geelong Cup form's provided Media Puzzle, Dandino, Americane recently, so I give him a massive hope. He's a horse that I'm really warming to as we come closer and closer. As a genuine winning chance, I'm not sure I could have him on top of Preferment or Fame Game, but for your exotics, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't run a big race.
Jimmy, you would have seen him win at Geelong and maybe J-Mac would have spoken glowing terms about him.
He did. I thought he was impressive in Geelong. He came through that same races, a couple of Melbourne Cup winners that we've seen.
Yeah.
I went back through his Metrop run. His Metrop run was good. He's improved. Dwayne Dunn on board, Hayes, Davenick, I agree with Brad. He's certainly in the mix. Couple might have a little bit more class, but one thing, he's going to stay. He's coming right at the right time. I think he's a player also.
I just love the way he travelled, Jim, in that Geelong Cup. Like, he looked like he had the race won a long way from home.
thing I liked, he did, and but when he asked him to go, he let down, and he actually come down. If you look at the video head on, he actually drops like a real good stayer when he asked him to lengthen, and that's one thing he'd done. He sort of had a little look to the right and put one round his tail, and I was impressed the way that he lengthened. Good stayer, let him go, and it was a good race to do it because there's been some nice horses come out of that race and go on and win.
He's another one, Brad, that probably, you know, based on what we've seen so far and his form overseas, he probably doesn't want any rain happening.
Yeah, well, all of his best form is on good track. So, yeah, he's another one that won't want the Evans to open.
He's a genuine player, without a doubt. Like you said, I thought he was super impressive. Geelong travelled in the race outstandingly, as well as I've seen any of the winners of late travel, as you know, far as winning the race.
Yeah, and he was dominant.
Like, yeah, dominant.
He's down on the line, two lengths. Dan Dino, good form reference. So, yeah, it'd be crazy discounting 53 kilos from a stable that's flying. So
yeah, he's one of the few in the race that was, you know,
it's hard to make too much of a case against.
Yeah, well, he's nearly the only horse in the race that was a dominant last start winner of a decent form leading into the race. You know what I mean? Like, so he has to be a chance.
Yep.
Another interesting runner, the first of the Aidan O'Briens, is Kingfisher, number 18. He's got out to $41 after the draw. You take a line through trip to Paris, like we said, he was stiff behind him in the Ascot Gold Cup. He should have won the race, without a doubt. He got held up five or six times in a straight. There's some word that maybe he didn't settle in outstandingly well when he first came to Australia, but he's had time to get over that now. What do you make of his chances here?
Well, on that Ascot Gold Cup run, he has to be a chance. As you say, he was very unlucky. I love the way he picked himself up and still finished that final 50 metres where he looked like he was going to run unlucky third, fourth, but ended up finishing second. It was enormous. His St. Ledger run, apparently he didn't pull up too well. He was a bit scratchy, hence why he was being 43 lengths, and then he failed the start before that. I guess we can put that down to the wet track. So on that Ascot form, yes, on his last two, you've got to kind of take him on a bit of trust there.
Jimmy, do you think he looks like the type of English stayer that can win a cup, or is he perhaps more into that bracket where we've seen them come over here and they just haven't had the speed to be able to win the race?
Yeah, and I'm just listening to Brad also agreeing, you know, the last couple of runs, how do you turn it around, you know? How do you settle in? Have you done everything right? It just makes it hard to go back to his third run back behind Trip to Paris. I agree with Brad. When he was able to pick himself up, he looked as if he was going to get beat a bit further and was able to get up and do that. But his last two runs, question mark, correct?
You go back through his earlier form and it's around Australia, stablemate, who was very good. I think there's a bit of Free Eagle form that ties in there, the Great Gatsby. Like, this is top shelf early form.
Yeah, we're talking world class form here, aren't we?
Yeah.
He's been competitive in some great races, and he's probably got out to a backable each way price now.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this the horse for Aidan O'Brien?
That's it. They haven't tried as much as Godolphin, but it's definitely a race that it's high on their calendar to win, isn't it? You can tell how much they want to win it now.
Yeah, it is. And I think they've changed tack a little bit this year, as you can see by these types. Like, very rarely you'd see an Aidan O'Brien with saddle class 18 and 20. Like, these are lightly raced, a bit younger.
Similar to Mailer.
Yeah, exactly. Sneak in with a lesser weight. So they've done their homework over years and years. So.
Prince of Penzance for Darren Weir and Michelle Payne draws the fence. He was good at the valley in the right part of the track. Look, he can stay, but I don't think he's got the class to be winning the race.
No, I'd be extremely surprised if he was anywhere near the finish. I'd suggest that he'll finish closer to the back than the front.
Fair enough, Jimmy. Those comments from Brad, it's hard to imagine he's...
Good to see Michelle Payne with a ride in the cup.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's nice. And obviously, DK Weir's, you know, one of Victoria's best trainers. He deserves a runner in a race like this.
Yeah, it's good to have a representation from Weary here. You touched on Michelle Payne. She's actually ridden Prince of Penzance in 22 of his 23 starts. So fitting that she rides in the cup.
Yeah, right. Hugh Bowman, last year's Queen Elizabeth, was the only time she didn't ride him.
Yep, correct. That United States form in the Mooney Valley Cup. They nearly broke a track record, so I guess you can take that in consideration. But he was extremely well flattered in that fast lane on the fence. So
yeah, yeah. No, he's for me, I can't find a spot for him this year. Number 20 is the second of Aidan O'Brien's runners, Bondi Beach. This horse has only had 5 starts. He's won 2. He's run second 3 times. And he has form probably some of the best European form coming here. It's not that handicap form. It's coming back through the St. Ledger, where he was outstanding behind Simple Verse.
Yeah, that's the race where it was marred by controversy, of course. Where he won it on protest.
Correct.
They re-protest months later. It's reverse. So
yeah.
Very odd.
It was very odd. I don't think that'd be happening out here, Jimmy.
No, look, he's a very interesting runner. Note some of the owners, Nick Williams, Lloyd Williams, and his wife. Interesting runner, Brett Pebble on board, 52.5. Another one of Aidan O'Brien's. They must think he's quality to bring him. He's only a 3-year-old in Northern Hemisphere time. Very, very interesting runner.
Well, he beat Order of St. George in the Curra Cup back in June, and obviously Order of St. George came out and then won the St. Ledger trial and the Irish St. Ledger later in the year. So if you look at that, you have to say that he's very classy. He's obviously really well in, even though he's only had the 5 starts. And I think perhaps one of the biggest advantages that people have underestimated about the horse is B. Preble, because he knows how to ride in these sort of races. He's obviously a big-time jockey in Hong Kong, but he's the sort of jockey that's been very successful when he's come back here, hasn't he, Jim?
Oh, look, without a doubt. He's a world-class jockey, Preble. He rode here before he went to Hong Kong, very well-established. The other thing, he's had the 5 starts. He's had 1 on the soft for a second. He's had 1 on the heavy for a win. And the other 3 have been on good tracks. So he's a Galileo. He's obviously a quality horse. And to be able to do that within 5 starts and be running in the Melbourne Cup, he's certainly not here to play marbles.
No, couldn't agree more. I think Williams has probably had that influence about getting Preble on too. He's probably thought, you know, being in the ownership, he's probably given Aidan the tip that he'd like, you know, local jocks have this success in the race.
Yeah, no doubt. Preble, big tick. The big thing is the inexperience, though, isn't it? 5. Yeah. Can you win a Melbourne Cup with just 5 runs under your belt?
Well, I mean, Mailer didn't have... He might have had only 5, maybe 6 starts before he came and ran 3rd in a Melbourne Cup. He had 50.5 kilos from memory that year, but the race probably wasn't as good. Yeah, look, I just think I think he's the X-factor horse in the race. Is that... I think he's the horse that potentially could come out and prove that, you know, that class, that St. Ledger form from England, is top class, and he's got that bit of unknown about him, similar to a few other horses that have won Group 1s over the carnival, like a Winx. I think he's definitely the X factor.
Yeah, no doubt he's got a bit of X factor. He's so sparingly raced. I think he'd be the most second lightly raced horse to ever win the Cup, and the one who holds that record is an incredible record in itself, Martini Henry. In 1883, on the Derby on debut, then the Melbourne Cup at its second start. So
wow,
that might take a bit of beating.
Well, Jimmy, that must have been... That's something, isn't it? He must have been a decent stayer.
My word.
What is it with these...
No, look, he's got... he could be the surprise package. I know he's only a 3-year-old, but, I remember them back in 83 and saying, back then, horses can't win the Melbourne Cup without running in Australia. Well, Kiwi give them all a start and flog them. So
exactly.
Record books are there to be broken. We might see the history rewritten with this horse. But I think he's a serious player. They haven't got him here to make up the numbers. Great ownership. One of the world's best trainers. Great jockey on board. It'd be interesting to see how he goes.
The name's very interesting too, isn't it? Like, do they name these in hope that there'll be a stallion in Australia one day?
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, they have you. There is a lot of... a lot in the stable that have got Australian towns or landmarks as their name over the years, like especially the last 5 or 6 years. Obviously, Australia, the horse.
Correct.
But there's been certainly more than a handful. I'd say at least half a dozen to at least a dozen, maybe to 2 dozen horses they've had in the stable that have had Australian, yeah, style names, but no, I don't really know the reason behind it, to tell you the truth.
I'm tipping the New South Wales totes will be unders on Bondi Beach.
Yes, yes, I think you'll find there'll be a few dollar punters getting on him. Sartorius, he's 200s into $91 after the draw. I don't really know why, because quite frankly, I'm surprised he's scraped into the race.
The only Australian bred runner in the race, so it's good to see the Aussie flag being flown.
Yep, that's lovely, and Jimmy, it's hard to make a case for him though, isn't it? I'm struggling here, aren't I?
No, people
will only back
him if they like number 21 or they like
number
5. Charlie Newitt, he won the Derby. The
punters
might be jumping all over him for that.
Yeah, he's just not going well, this campaign, is he?
I don't think he's going as bad as you're making out. He's run 10th. His sectionals were both very good there. His sectionals were also very good in the Geelong Cup and the Herbert Power. He's just racing to me. The blinkers come back off here. They didn't work in the Geelong Cup because he... They were trying to rev him up to take a bit of a spot, but he just showed no early speed whatsoever. They come back off. He's a horse that looks like he's wanting desperately this 2 miles now, 52.5. And for a stayer, his record's very good, like 41 starts, 10 wins, and then a further 14 placing. So he loves the track. I don't know. I'm not as downcast as you guys about Sartorius. I think that he will beat quite a few runners home in this race.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. The United States, interesting runner from the Hickmott stable, owned by Lloyd Williams, obviously. I like the horse as a stayer, I always have.
Yep.
Do I think he's good enough to win this race? No. That's my first thought on the horse. He was very good at Moonee Valley. And he's been in good form the whole prep, but I just don't know if I can see him winning the race.
No, it looks like he's got that kind of just rung below status form in Victoria, doesn't he? Like,
I could see him winning a Sandown Classic.
Like Magna Pell, Escardo, Prince of Penzance.
Yeah.
That doesn't scream Melbourne Cup form there, does it? He was very good last start. Hugh Bowman going on was the difference. He rode him absolutely perfectly. Magic Man, so you're not losing a great deal there. 52.5 kilos. You have to respect the stable. They know how to tune up a Melbourne Cup runner. But, yeah, I can't have him.
Jimmy, your thoughts on him? He's been in good form, but he's got to step up again.
Yeah, he's probably got to step up again. Look, good stable, good jockey, nice barrier draw, no weight. I'm sure he's going to be coming out of that Moonee Valley when he was good, but he's probably got to go up a notch again.
Yeah, he could run top 10, maybe at best sixth, but yeah, I couldn't see him being right in the mix at the end. In fact, I look at his price at $20 and I look at Bondi Beach at 21 and I know which one I'd rather be on.
Okay.
And it's not United States.
I guess, yeah. Like, he's 6-year-old, but you get the impression we still haven't seen his absolute best yet, the United States.
No, definitely. I think he's a horse that can definitely win good races out here. Sandown Classic, for me, would be perfect for him.
What do you think, 2 miles? Do you think he'll...
There's got to be some question mark. But no, he's a great horse, but like, he's a very good horse, but I just can't see him winning in this race.
If it was any other stable, he'd probably be 50s, wouldn't he?
Probably, yeah, you're right, yeah. Excess Knowledge, of course, won the Lexus on Saturday in a good effort. He's been in good form since he's been in Melbourne, like solid form, and he's proven himself that he can genuinely stay. The barrier's done him no favours. But, you know, Kieran is a very good rider of distance races, isn't he, Jimmy?
Oh, look, definitely. He's had a lot of luck macker over the years. He won a Melbourne Cup. I think he might have been won it out of barrier 24.
Brew, I'm sure, did come from 24, yeah.
Yeah, so, look, he was tough the other day. He hung in there. Gay's got another one in the Cup. You know it's going to be fit. Going to get a nice ride, no weight. I'm sure he'll roll forward a bit from out there. And, you know, is he going to be good enough? He's been tough. I'd be on Grand Marshal before Excess Knowledge.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair enough. He beat Zantika the other day, mate. Is that good enough?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Gay came in and said there'd be no fitter horse in the race.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with that. Rock hard fit, 51 kilos. Alexis has been deceptively good form race recently. Sign-off ran fourth. Collini was thereabouts. Niwot was thereabouts. Then you've got My Lucky Day and Shocking. So I don't know, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't somewhere thereabouts. I expect this horse to be top eight.
Well, I think if Emerillar was in the race, he'd be, what, top six in the betting?
Yeah, it'd be about $15, I'd say.
So he was good behind Emerillar.
He was. I think 2 miles is what he wants now. Drops from 56.5 to 51. So that gay polish, yeah, I think he won't be beaten on the score of fitness at least.
Yeah, fair enough. One of your favourite mares at the moment, Gust of Wind, number 24. She's got into the race and she was very good at Caulfield. She looked like she couldn't sprint with the leaders when they went, or with the winners when they went. And that maybe gave the impression that getting back to Flemington and the 2 miles is going to suit.
Yeah, as we kind of touched on when we were doing the recap of the race, the Caulfield Cup, she had to get out when Mongolian Khan did. She didn't. She got boxed in for that extra couple of 50 metres or so. And
she hasn't got a sprint on her, has she?
She doesn't. She just wanted to wind up and grind. And you could see towards the end of the race where that second pack looked to be closing in on her. But as probably that last 50 metres, she came again and started to sprint away from that second chasing pack. So that's a good sign. Going to Flemington, out to 3,200 metres is good. 51 kilos on her back. I was very keen on her in the Caulfield Cup, and I really wish she ran third instead of fourth for those X-Bay punters out there that didn't do us any...
At the 200s, yeah.
Any favours. But, yeah, I'd see her running a good race, but on her Caulfield Cup run, I think she has to improve too much to be a genuine winning chance here.
Jimmy, you obviously know that Johnny Sargent can prepare a stayer. This mare was good at Caulfield, wasn't she? Like, she's a tough, grinding sort of mare that is going to eat up the 2 miles.
Yeah, look, I think she'll love the 2 miles. She's nicely weighted. Brad was right on the lolly at Caulfield that she'd run well. I just don't know if she's got the class of a few of these others. She's going to keep whacking away. Is she going to be good enough? She won an Oaks probably when Winks was very unlucky. I just don't know if she's got the class. She's probably going to run the trip. She's still going to be whacking away. Top 10, maybe.
Yeah, look, I agree. Top 10. I'd be surprised. In fact, I'd be surprised if she didn't finish somewhere in the midst, you know, 12th to 6th. That seems like...
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the wide barrier hurts her chances either, because she's a horse that wants a bit of room, so...
She'll roll forward.
She's better off out there than being boxed up somewhere on the fence.
Yeah, but look, she's certainly in the right camp, and Chad, you know, is one of the better lightweight jockeys going around, so... Yeah, look, it wouldn't be a total surprise to see her run a place, but yeah, maybe she hasn't got the class. Guys, that's all the runners in the 2015 Melbourne Cup. I'll come to you first, Brad. What's your tips?
I am going to be backing Preferment for a good result, and then I'll also back Fame Game for a smaller result. So I'll make a book around those two runners. Reasonably confident that one of those two will win the race. I put Al Moonquith in for third. I like that Geelong Cup form. Respecting Red Cadeau because he's such an old warrior. And then I've got Trip for Paris in fifth spot. So Preferment and Fame Game are my two big plays.
Jimmy, I don't need to ask you what your thoughts are, but you just can't wait to get out there, can you?
No, I can't wait to get out there. I'd love to win it. I just hope he's good enough. As I've stressed, you'll run the 2 mile. I'm ready for it. Otherwise, I'd have to say if the track is not rain affected, it doesn't get to soft or slow, I think Fame Game's the horse to beat. Obviously, Preferment on a reasonable track turf, if it happened to get wet, well, I believe Preferment and Fame Game might come out. If it got wet, I'd be throwing in Our Ivanhoe for Friedman. I do like the form of Max Dynamite. I think he's not coming out enough. He's going to get a chance. Nice alley. Might want to be 8 or 10 wide this time, that we had on a few other occasions. And it looks a tough race, a good cup. The best rider will win, the best stayer will win, and I wish all my fellow riders all the best.
Well, that's it, mate. You just we want everyone to have a chance, and as far as Grand Marshal goes, you just want to have no interference and give him every hope when, and at the top of the straight, pull him out and hope he can run him down.
That's all I want to do, just give him a nice ride and give him every opportunity to win it. And if he can't win it, run into one of the patients and keep the connections and while I have.
You'd think the racing gods will give you a couple of gaps at the right time.
Well, it's a funny thing, racing. You've got to be there when they open, if they come, and who knows? There's always a good man up there that looks after someone. Let's hope it's me tomorrow.
Definitely, Jimmy. Okay, well, I'm going to tip Bondi Beach.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just... Look, I think Fame Game's obviously the hardest to beat, but I just have this feeling, like this X-factor scenario, you know. I think he's the type of horse that has the class. I think he's well-weighted. I think the fact that Williams is in the horse with Aiden is a big factor.
Do you want to see a market push for him? Like, are you a little bit concerned that hasn't been one so far? Like, he's been solid, but...
Yeah, sure. If there was a market push, that would probably encourage me more. But is it going to stop me from backing him? No. You know, I'm still going to... I still think he's, the X factor that, potentially might end up being one of the better horses to come out of the race once his career's over. Obviously, Fame Game, I couldn't imagine anyone who's tipping in this race could leave him out.
Yeah.
And then I agree with you. I think Al Mooncooth's a huge hope. I thought he was super impressive at Geelong. And I'm going to chuck in Grand Marshal to, like I said, I think he was top three run in the, probably the second best run in the Caulfield Cup. If you're saying Fame Game's a genuine hope and he's at $5, Grand Marshal at $41 for me is the value in the race, certainly as far as putting some, value in your multiples. So, it's a great addition to the Melbourne Cup, really. I'm really excited about this race. In fact, it's probably the one I've been most excited about since, Say You Think, an Americane went around.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Yeah, it's a cracking little field, and you can make a case for plenty of runners, plenty of quality there, but we'll see. May the best horse win.
Definitely. And, Jimmy, all the best luck on tomorrow, mate. We'll speak to you before the Oaks on Thursday about Dawny Perfect. We'll do a little preview there for our weekend podcast, which will go to air on Wednesday evening. But all the best tomorrow, mate, and Godspeed, and hope the trip's good.
Beautiful, mate. And to all our podcast listeners, good punting, good luck. If you don't find the winner in the cup, hang around to race 10, number 10, Lucky Largo, the Papa.
Beautiful. There you go. Punters lead in there. Lucky Largo. She's been racing very consistently. Brad, just before we go, anything else out of the meeting for you?
Yeah, I thought that one of the shorties, Azali, was well placed. You're shopping about $2.20, but she looks ready to win. And we're talking about racing gods earlier. Surely that they're going to shine on this one and give James a win on Cup Day.
Yeah.
It'll be brilliant to see. And then one a bit later at odds, I think the Bowler is going to run a huge race in race 8. Gets the right run. Barrier 2, this horse has got some terrific Flemington form. Around $20, I think he is. I think he'll get something out of it.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I thought the same. I thought he was well overs in the market, the bowler. And he likes Flemington too.
Yeah, before we go, I guess I should also mention that the traders here are very keen to take on Fame Game. So
okay.
If you want top odds of Fame Game, we're betting at $5 when we were filming this podcast. So if you like Fame Game, then...
Which would just about be top right now, wouldn't it?
Top of the market, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So if you like him, there's only one place to play, and that's William Hill.
Okay, good stuff. All right, Jimmy, thanks again, mate, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
My pleasure. Good punting, boys.
And good luck, Pumper.
Thank you.
Definitely. And Brad, I'll talk to you on Wednesday about the Oaks and what should be a cracking weekend as well.
Yep, plenty more races to come just yet.
Definitely. All right, thank you, listeners, and join us again in a couple of days' time when we look at that Crown Oaks and the weekend with the Emirates Stakes. Until then, good luck with your Melbourne Cup selections, and that's it for Pump Up the Volume.